In transit for this Friday, we'll begin with the latest on the Illitoart Bridge. But just a reminder, over the next little while, we'll be taking your calls, 514-790-0800. If you want to contribute to In Transit this week with your gripes or kudos related to transit.
What the hell is going on?
That's right, Rick. Now, this one is a doozy, right? And I was so happy to hear Brenda O'Farrell, our next guest, on the Andrew Carter Morning Show, earlier this week, and one of the things that we discussed were part of the second breakfast is the madness over at the Illitoart Bridge. And I've had listeners reach out to me on social media saying, Elias, you need to cover this, right? What's happening with the Illitoart Bridge is crazy. So that's why we said, hey, let's get Brenda on our program. Of course, Brenda O'Farrell is the editor-in-chief and founder of two fantastic local newspapers, the 1019 Report and the 1510 West. That's both sides of the Illitoart Bridge, ladies and gentlemen. And Brenda is on the line. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning, Elias.
So I know you published a story this week on the Illitoart Bridge, and then it created just craziness over at your offices. The phones were off the hook here. Why don't you give it to us, give it to our listeners here, what you found out about the Illitoart Bridge and its fate and how it'll be as a way for people to commute over the next little while.
Well, the story started because basically the ongoing work on the bridge, it sort of changes, it forces different configurations on which lanes are open and which lanes are closed. And this is an ongoing thing. But of late, the configurations were changed to a certain point where the backlog just became ridiculous. And people were complaining. And that's what sparked us to say, okay, let's go find out, why is it different now? And as we were doing that, we got a hold of Transport Quebec, and we were talking to them, and we're saying, okay, so they explained why they had to change the configurations to what they are now for specific reasons. And the question then came, well, how long is that going to take? And that's when the story appeared. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's so much repair work that has to be done that they just came out and admitted that the bridge will never be fully reopened ever again.
So that, to me, is just like, how is that even possible? You know what I mean? Ever?
Well, they're saying it's going to be this way until the new bridge is built and opened. So that is ever in the lifespan of this particular piece of infrastructure.
Gotcha. And when is that new promised land of a new bridge? What's the date for that?
That is a guesstimate at this point. They're saying it is going to be 2029 in the best case scenario.
Okay, so no way it's going to be 2029, right? The best case scenario don't happen.
But the thing is, that sparks a whole lot of other questions. It's not just so much, you know, repairs to a bridge. What is the context that this bridge finds itself in? This is part of the Trans-Canada Highway. This is part of the major corridor between Quebec and Ontario. This is, in the past year, two of the biggest economic questions that we face are supply chains, which include supply routes, by the way, and the price of fuel. All of this is fueling inflation. What is this doing to that right now when people that used to go over the span in a matter of moments are sitting there in traffic for hours? Plural.
And Brenda, you know, you outlined the case here of how important this span is economically. And if the government says doesn't matter how important it is economically, this is the way it will be until its end of life. Now I have questions about, well, geez, were they forced into this because of safety? Like, is this the current?
Again, yeah. Let's go back into the context that we find ourselves in. This span was identified a long, long time ago that it was approaching its end of life, and nothing was done. Then finally, it came on the radar because the situation was getting really, really serious. And, you know, and everyone that uses this bridge on a daily basis, that means everybody in the 1019 area, the Vaudreuil-Soulanges area, going onto the island of Montreal, they know what happened not that long ago when there was an emergency closure of the bridge completely.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that sparked a whole other crisis, which again points to, well, what if that bridge is no longer functioning, all the traffic was diverted to the 20. And there's another situation where for many, many, many years, part of the Highway 20 through Bourg-d'Orion, it's actually an urban boulevard. It's not a highway at all. It's controlled with street corners and traffic lights and 50, you know, hour speed limits, 50 kilometers an hour speed limits. So, you know, the congestion there, and again, what has been on the table and in discussions for decades there is a bypass route to actually transform part of that highway into a real highway.
That's right.
And nothing has been done there.
And you know, it has always seemed so crazy, right? You're on the 20 and you're just trying to go Montreal, Toronto, let's say, and then all of a sudden you just have to end up on a commercial artery with stoplights everywhere. Hey, Brett.
And I was around long enough to know that, you know, there was part of Highway 20 through the West Island that was controlled by traffic lights. And the only reason that got changed is that, you know, the number of fatal accidents were growing.
And of course, Brenda, you know the story about this neck of the woods, right? The story about both sides of the Illatorte Bridge is just this impressive growth. Brenda, I have a caller here who's calling from St. Lazare on this very subject. Can you just stick around here? Mike, let's get Mike here on the air. He called in at 790-0800. Mike, you wanted to say something. Maybe Brenda's going to have a reaction to what you say. So, Mike, what did you want to add to this discussion?
I just want to thank Brenda very much for that story. I get her paper every week. It's a great paper. I'm a teacher at a high school in St. Anne de Bellevue, and this is having a direct impact on our students. Every day, our kids are late for school because about 80% of our kids are bused in from off-island. I just want to put things in perspective for drivers out there who laugh when we talk about the Illatorte Bridge because, you know, Mercier, Champlain, everywhere's got their issues. Imagine your commute goes from 45 minutes to 2+ hours one day. That's essentially what's happened now on this bridge, where an 18-minute commute now takes over an hour. There's some people who a 14-minute commute takes 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have to leave at 6:15. I can't be with my daughter in the morning now because I have to leave so I get to work on time. Like, there are real-life direct impacts on families, on, like you said, inflation and wasting gas. So I've been trying to get answers from the local MNA in the area, Marilyn Picard, who's the CAQ member of the National Assembly in Soulanges. And I got to say, their attaché responds immediately and very happy about it. But there's not really any specifics about what's going on. So I just got a recent... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike. We didn't say anything. Go ahead.
I got a...
The pile of smoldering mess that Mike mentions. That, again, the context is that in 2024, the REM is going to open. And part of the argument of not extending the REM into Vaudreuil is that commuters can go from the off-island into St. Anne de Bellevue and catch the REM there. How are they going to do that with these kind of delays?
They won't be able to. There's your answer,
no.
Huh?
So the latest I've heard is that the first span, they're building an identical bridge to the Illatorte. They're going to build two separate spans that are the same old school 1960s design, three lanes, that's it. There's not even going to be a reserve bus lane. It's going to be in the shoulder. What a missed opportunity. And so what they're going to do is by 2026 is when they said the first span is going to be built, they're going to move all the traffic, all six lanes of traffic onto that new span. And then they're going to put everything back onto two new spans in 2029 at the earliest. So by 2026 is what the local MNA told me. But now I just heard from Mrs. Nichols in Vaudreuil. Her attaché just told me that we might lose more lanes. So I have to follow up with that email because if we lose more lanes now, like this is crazy. It's going to be nonsense.
Mike, thanks very much for adding to this discussion. Really appreciate your kind words for the 1019 report. Brenda, let's end with you on this one here. You know, Mike brought up 15-minute commutes, now an hour here. I imagine that's what people were so concerned when they reached out to you this week, just the toll on their lives.
Oh, of course. You know, these people are racing home to pick up kids at daycare. They're getting their kids out to soccer practice when they're coming home. In the morning, they have to leave before their kids go to school now to be able to get over the bridge in time. At every turn, there is a complication. And it's not like, oh, we're running 15 minutes late, or we're running 20 minutes late, or a half an hour late, or an hour late. It is an hour and a half to 2 hours there and back every day.
I just can't imagine having to deal with that. Brenda, listen, thanks so much. I appreciate you coming on.
Good to talk to you.
That's Brenda O'Farrell, editor-in-chief, covers both sides of the Illitoid Bridge. The 1019 Report and the 1510 West are the publications.